for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, November the 25th, 1994. Thanksgiving weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Brother and sister, coffee or the ministers of the morning?
I'm going to share with you this morning on some things the Lord's given me in judgment, on judgment.
Yes.
And why, what judging does to us. And if you will begin with me this morning, open your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. I've been doing a lot of teaching on forgiveness, unforgiveness. And as I've been teaching this, the Lord's been giving me a little bit more as I study it. And he gave me some more on binding and loosening. And I tell you, it's very interesting. I've been teaching on binding and loosening in a long time, and binding spirits and loosening spirits of God, binding evil spirits and loosening spirits of God. And that's good. That's, the Word says that. But the Lord's given me something else on binding. And one of the things He's given me on binding is how we bind people with our unforgiveness.
Amen.
We bind ourselves to them. When we won't forgive, we bind ourselves to the individual. And we bind ourselves, and then we bind God that He can't work in our lives. So we bind in three areas when we will not forgive. And I find most people think, when we talk about forgiveness, I'm going into judging in just a minute, and it all ties together. But I find that when we talk about forgiving, that people are afraid that when I forgive, it means that I'm saying that what they've done to me is all right. But that's not what we're saying. See, we're not their judge.
Amen.
God is.
Amen.
We need to look at ourselves.
Amen.
Instead of others.
Uh-huh.
And the very thing you don't like in me is what's working in you. And this is what we do. We bind and won't forgive because we're afraid. We want to be judge and jury. And then we want to execute the punishment. And God says, He will repay. I will recompense. So we must forgive, because if we do not forgive, then we bind the individual that has hurt us the most to us. And we're bound to them, and we can't get free from them. And God can't work in their lives. When we forgive, we turn them loose so God can work in their lives, and then God can work in our lives. I have been working, the Lord's been showing this to me for about 3 weeks. Really, I've been teaching on forgiveness and forgiving ever since I've been in deliverance, because without forgiveness, without us forgiving people, we don't get delivered from the things that torment us. But there are a lot of things that we don't consider wrong that we need to forgive. I told my husband when I began to learn this, I was walking through the house one day and I ran into the TV. My TV sits catty corner in front of my bathroom door, from the den to the bathroom. And I bumped it and I thought, oh, that hurts. And I said, oh, I forgive you in Jesus' name. You said, you dummy, you forgave the thing. Yes, I did. Because I could have said, well, what in the world is that thing doing sitting there in my way? And we need to begin to forgive. Even the little hurts, the little foxes spoil the vine. And then they begin to build up. And then they begin to build up. And they build up. And they build up. And the next thing we know, we're full of hatred. So forgiveness is the beginning. Brother Glenn didn't tell me this, that I could do this. But he said we had to practice what we preached. So when we get through this morning, Lord willing, we're going to do deliverance.
Yes.
But we need to begin to practice what we speak. We speak the right words. But what God says, every hidden thing in our heart's going to be revealed. In Matthew, in the 7th chapter of Matthew, in verse 1, Scripture says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote, out of thy brother's eye." So God is telling us to look at ourselves first. Instead of beginning to judge, we need to look at ourselves. We need to look into our hearts, and we need to look at the motive behind what we do and what we, the things we say and how we act and how we judge one another. I had a phone call just recently that really put this to the, really showed, answered this to me clearly. And this individual said to me, "I really hated that individual. And I became what I hated." So, well, I don't hate anyone, but we judge. We judge. Now, let me give you a good illustration of this. My father was an alcoholic. And I loved my father dearly, but I hated what he was. I hated the alcoholic spirit and everything that it caused in our family. And because I hated that thing and I came against it, we had 4 kids, and all of them but one walked as an alcoholic. The very thing that I judged my father of began to work in my family. All of them but one has been freed from it. And God's working on him. And the Lord showed me something else. And I'm going to give you some scriptures on all this, but the Lord gave me this when I was reading this. He showed me. I've been on the phone doing a lot of repairs lately. You see, everything I preach, I have to walk in it. I had judged my son, one of my sons. Well, in fact, I judged them all. And I'm sharing what happened to me. I can only tell you what happened to me to let you relate it to things in your own life if you will listen to it and say, "Well, my goodness, that woman's terrible. Her family's horrible." They were, and I was. But I'm not anymore. The Lord's still working. But I had judged my son because of him drinking and his drugs. I judged him. And God said, "You bound him with your judging him." He said, "Turn him loose." Well, I thought I had. Well, Lord, I mean, I preached this. Turn him loose and let God work. Well, I just said, "Lord, they're yours, you know. You do what you want to with them." I didn't tell the devil he could, but I told God. So I said, "God, you do what you want to." But God said, "You judged them." He says, "Now you repent. You repent of judging your son." And I said, "Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I ask you to forgive me for judging this boy for what he's doing." He said, "Well, what he's doing is wrong." "That's right. But you know I'm not God. And I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not his judge. God is." And as long as I was judging him and I would speak it with my mouth, that he, you know, when these people ask me about my son, from now on when they ask me, I said, "Well, he's saved, walking with the Lord, praising the Lord." By faith he is, because God has promised me my house. Instead of saying, "Well, he's still not doing the things he should." I had judged him, and God said, you've loosened him. So I said, "Father, I forgive him." So I've been on the phone talking to them and asking them to forgive me and loosening them from me and me from them. We bind people. And we need to look at ourselves first and say, "Lord, what in me do I need to take care of?" When God began to take me back to my father, I knew that it had to begin at the beginning with me. He said, "But I've been saved. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And God's forgiven me all my sins." And that's true. And I'm going to give you a scripture on some things the Lord showed me about that. But we still hold on to those things. They're still there. And if we have not remitted those sins of the fathers, then we are binding ourselves and our families with them. And I'm saying the family, but it's anyone that we do this to. Over in 1 Corinthians, in the fourth chapter, there's another scripture that also tells us in verse 5, says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. God tells us that everything in us will be revealed. Everything in us. And Scripture tells it over in Mark 4. You don't have to turn there, but Mark 4, verse 22 says, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. The thought and the intent of the heart, God says that it will be brought forth, manifest. And I'm praying, this is what the Lord began to show me, was that I need to pray that He would manifest in me, to me, the things in my heart that I need to forgive and ask forgiveness for. Little things, little hurts. Husbands that have hurt their wives, spoke sharply. I was talking about the anger last night, that they get mad at their wives and say things, or wives get mad at their husbands and say things. We cut them with words, and God says we're not to do that. He says, you know, He tells us we're to walk like Jesus. Jim and I were talking about this morning, and I said, you know, I want to see the power of God manifested, the real, true power of God. And God says, as we clean up our lives, as we get all of our soul back, that we can begin to understand this word enough to walk as the way He wants us to walk. You see, we don't even understand this word like God wants us to understand it, because, first of all, we don't have all of our soul. And I'm not going to preach on the soul this morning. But I'll tell you this. God said you cannot get anyone delivered until you get their soul back. And He proved it to me in my own church with a lady that I had been working with for a long time. And I had gone everywhere trying to get someone to help me know how to get this woman delivered. And I had prayed and prayed to the Lord about it. And the Lord never did give me the reason that I couldn't get her delivered. It seemed like we would throw things out of her, and the next day they were right back again. And one day, one night, I was in the bed after deliverance. And I said, Father, I don't understand. I've been asking You and asking You. See, I've been doing some study on the soul. He's been giving me a lot on the soul. And the Lord said to me, you cannot get her delivered until her soul is restored. She doesn't have all of her soul. And we went back the next Wednesday night and were doing some deliverance, and so the Lord had given me something in the area to speak to in her, and this demon manifested in her and said, he said to me, now listen to me, don't turn me off because I'm talking about the soul. A lot of people don't believe your soul can be fragmented, but the Word says it can. But this demon said to me, I don't know how you ever got her saved. And I said, what do you mean? He said, there wasn't enough of her here when she came to your church to get saved. He said she had very little of her soul. But he said, you wouldn't give up. And she finally got saved. It took a long time. And he said, you will not get all her soul back. Well, that's a bunch of baloney, but because I know the Word says God will restore her soul, and He has restored a lot of it. But God told me that we could not get a person delivered until we get their soul back. People that are so demonized. This girl has functioned, works, but she's had all kinds of problems, voices in her head and all of this. For years and years, she's 30-something years old and never been able to get free from the voices. She's been to all kinds of doctors, had all kinds of treatments, and we didn't know her soul was missing. Now let me tell you, I shared that with you to tell you this. The unforgiveness that you hold against someone else, you've got a soul tie with them. That's the binding. You're bound with a soul tie. And when you forgive them, when you forgive them and ask God to forgive them, and forgive you for holding unforgiveness against them, and then ask God to forgive you, and then forgive yourself, then you can be free from that individual, and God can work in their lives. Mighty quiet in here. Galatians chapter 6. Scriptures that I'm using are all familiar to most people, especially in the area of deliverance. But I want to give you something else the Lord gave me on this. In Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Well, we all know that, don't we? It said, "For he that soweth to his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." I've been preaching that for a long time too, and I said, let's start planting good seeds so we have good crops come up. But the Lord began to show me something about this, and some of you may already know this, but let me tell you something. Every evil seed that we have planted, plant corn in your yard. Do you ever plant corn in your garden? You plant corn in the garden, and up comes a stalk, and it has at least 4 ears on the stalk, if the ground's good. Maybe more, I don't know. And each ear of corn, there are lots of grains. One seed. What you sow, you reap. We don't reap just one seed. We reap a harvest. And when I began to look at that, I began to say, Lord, forgive us. Forgive me for the things I've said, the things I've done, the judging of people that I have done. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me. And I began to see this very thing that I had held against other people and judged other people for coming forth in my own life and in my family's life. And God said, you need to pray, really pray for a crop failure. And I said, Lord, the only way I know to pray is to say, forgive me, forgive me. And to repent. You know, it's hard for individuals to say, I sinned. We say, the devil made me do it. Oh, I'm so sick of that thing. I tell you what. Let me tell you something. I shared that scripture last night on the gathering demonic. You see, he was possessed, but he went to Jesus. Now, don't you tell me the devil made you do it because you're not possessed. You did it because you wanted to.
Amen.
And when we repent and say, God, I sinned, it was me, it was not my husband or my kids, but me, then God will begin to work.
Amen.
But we go around and we blame everyone but ourselves. Well, it's all my husband's fault. If he wasn't this and that, I wouldn't be this. But it's not true.
Amen.
And I cannot say the demons in me made me do it. Because I have control over anything in me. I have a will. And I have a mind and I have emotions. And I have a will that I don't have to let the devil use it.
Amen.
So when we begin to be honest with ourselves, this is the whole thing, is being honest with yourself.
Amen.
You see, God already knows. He looks at your heart. I hear people talking about the good things they do. You know, there's none good, no, not one. And unless the Spirit of God is doing it through you, all your good works are going to burn. And God's telling us to clean up our lives and let Jesus have rule and reign in it and walk with Him. And then we will see the power of God manifested. We will begin to see those things we so greatly desire. We pray and say, and we speak the word, John 12:14-12. Jesus said, these works shall you do, and greater works shall you do, because I go to the Father. Well, I'm not seeing the works, are you? We're not doing the works of Jesus. Because we are not prepared, we are not cleaned up, we are not walking led by the Spirit, and letting God use us. We're trying to use God. And when we get all of this out of us, all of this judgment, and all this bitterness, and all this unforgiveness, all of this hatred out of us, then God can work through us.
Amen.
But we are so self-righteous and so proud. So proud. Pride. And religious.
Oh, yes.
I pray all day. I read my Bible. And I do this, and I do. And what does God do? We are so full of religion that God can't work. If I remember my Bible enough, God hated what the Pharisees and the scribes did. But He's telling us to judge ourselves, to look in our hearts and say, God, cleanse me. I laid in the bed last night after Brother was ministering to people last night, and I was saying, Lord, everything in me, I want it out. All the little petty things, the jealousy, the envy, the hate, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the resentment, the hurts. The hurts. I said, God, do a work in me. And this is my cry. And said, Lord, change me. Change me so I can be of use to you. And God, that's what God is wanting to do with His people. And when we will stop looking at what everybody else is doing and done and start looking at me and let God clean me up, then we can walk in that which God wants us to walk in. That spirit of judgment, judging, it is so quick. We are so quick to judge. All those crops need to be gotten out. Luke chapter 6. Verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Merciful means forgiving. When God forgave us, we walk under His mercy and grace, do we not? When we're merciful, we're forgiving people. He said, judge not and you shall not be judged. When we judge, we do not forgive. We're walking in unforgiveness. He said, condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, wherewithal it shall be measured to you again. And we've heard that scripture preached on, you give into the ministry. We need to give into the ministry. Let me tell you, the more you give, the more God gives. But that's not what that's talking about. What did it just talk about? In forgiving and not judging. And if we walk in forgiveness and don't judge people, God will give it to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God wants us to walk in this. He's forgiven us everything. Over in Matthew's Gospel in the 18th chapter where He said, the man that went before the judge and said, Lord, I can't pay my debt. I got a big debt. I mean, I just owe so much. And the Lord forgave him everything. That's you and I. He forgave us everything. I mean, everything. And He still forgives you everything you ask Him to. But then a little further along in the scripture it says that this same man, that's you and our brother comes and he does something we don't like and we hold it against him. And the scripture says that the people went to the Lord. I didn't go to this brother and say, did you know Glenn just won't, he's just this and that and this and that. That's not what the scripture said. It said that he went to the Lord, his Lord, the judge, or whoever. And we need to take our little peevements to God and not to one another. Not to one another. And ask God to forgive me because I let that individual hurt me. Lord, I forgive them. The minute it's said and done, forgive them. I'll give you an example. My husband hurt my feelings this morning. He didn't even know he did it. He's talking about my makeup. Said I wore too much rouge. I do. I'm so getting so old. I got some color somewhere. And instantly I said, Lord, I forgive him. The hurt came. He didn't even know he did it, but it hurt. Because he criticized me. And I said, I forgive him. See, it wasn't him. He didn't do anything. I took it wrong. He was right. But that hurt tried to well up in me. But instantly, I forgave him. Not for his sake, but for mine. And yeah, for his too. But he didn't even know he had done it. You see, we receive hurts from people that they don't even know they hurt us, and we hold on to it. And the Word says in Matthew 18, we're to forgive them, for God's forgiven us everything. And what did He say? I forgive you, and I don't remember your sins anymore. But we want to bring them back up, hold on, and retaliate. Well, you don't know what that old so-and-so did to me. You don't know how bad that hurt. It doesn't matter, because Jesus Christ forgave us everything when we came to the cross. And then He says those little 5-cent sins that people do, the hurts that they do against you, you forgive them. If you don't, you're going to be turned over to the tormentors. The tormentors. And the tormentors come and they say, well, you just didn't look at me just right. They didn't look at me just right. You know, that thing sitting up on my shoulder saying, they're not walking right. They hurt you. They criticized you. They judged you. The tormentors, they talk to you. You don't have anybody talk to you? Thoughts? You say, well, it's just my thoughts. Is it? The tormentors, they come to torment you. God said, forgive, and we need to forgive instantly. We have no right to hold on to anything. Not anything. Because God forgave us everything. Every one of us here, everybody without exception, the background is sinner. We were in the devil's field. He was our father. You're either God's child or the devil's. And we were of our father, the devil. But we have changed fathers. When we were the devil's children, we walked the way the devil told us to. But we have a new father, and we are supposed to walk the way God tells us to. And we don't have to listen to what the devil sins against us if we'll walk in what God tells us, in God's laws, the principles, spiritual laws. Forgive every little hurt, every little wound. Well, all these wounds, this girl that I was telling you about that I'm ministering to, at 2 years old, she was raped. And that's when she lost every part of her. Her soul was removed. You say, I don't, that's not fair. Well, of course it's not. I don't know if the devil ever does anything fair, do you? Wasn't fair for a little 2-year-old child to get raped. The devil has never played fair in his life, and he don't intend to, and he's not going to play fair with you. God says that brothers talk twice not. Know your enemy. Well, the devil doesn't have any power. I've heard that over and over again. You see, Jesus did take his power away. Jesus took it away. He defeated him. But my Bible tells me that everything in that word is a teaching for me to show me how I'm to walk. And so when Jesus defeated Satan on the cross, he totally defeated him. But the punishment of the judgment that was brought against him hasn't been carried out yet. Not against the devil. He's not in hell yet. He's still loose. So that means that you and I are having to fight him. Since you became a believer, you really have to fight him. You were no problem to him as long as you walked with him. And I'll tell you another thing. If you're not coming against his kingdom, you're still no problem to him. Because he only attacks those that are uncovering his works. And if you're not in warfare, let me tell you something. Check up on where you're walking. You may be going the way the devil's going. We have an enemy, and he has power. He's not all-powerful. Because our God is greater. The greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. And we have all kinds of weapons that God has given unto us. And he's telling us to defeat that enemy, to put him down, to put him under our feet. And when we do, then we can rise up and be resurrected to walk in newness of life with Jesus. But we're still so fleshly. We're still walking in the flesh. And God wants us to walk in the Spirit. Okay. Let's go over to Romans 2. I told you that if you don't forgive and if you go around judging, that all this other, these other things are there. You get the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the hurts, the anger. Destruction comes in. Well, in Romans, in the second chapter, verse 1, it says, therefore thou art excusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou judgest. Thou that judgest doeth the same thing. That's what I said at the beginning. I like to give you scripture for what I say. And if we judge someone, we're doing the same thing that we judge them for. He said, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest thou the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? You see, what we judge another person for, God is judging us. That's why we need to keep real short accounts with the Lord, moment by moment accounts with the Lord, and not let anything build up. He said, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Thank God for the goodness of God and the patience, his patience and his mercy and his grace. Because if we truly are desirous to walk with the Lord and to serve the Lord, we will hear what the Lord is trying to say to us, to show us where we're coming from. He said, the scripture says, but thou, after the hardness and impotent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. If we do not forgive, the heart becomes hard.
Yes, amen.
Let me ask you something. Are you able to give and receive love like you want to? Are you as joyful? Last night I felt it real strong here. There was a heaviness over this place. It seemed, and again this morning, the praise didn't want to come the way it normally does. It's like so much bondage. But are you able to love and to have the joy of the Lord that you had when you first came to Jesus? You know how excited you were when you got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? Man, it was great. You see, all these little things have built up that we have thought, well, I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm okay. And we have not looked into our own hearts to see what is there that will keep us from walking in that joy and love that we once that we had at the beginning. You know, in Revelation it said you've left your first love. We left our first love, the love of Jesus, and we began to look at people. We began to be hurt by people and wounded and bruised, and we let all this unforgiveness and this judgment, judging ministers, and I say this because I know this is where I walked for a long time, begin to judge other ministers and see the things in their life, how they, all the great things that are happening to them, and some of us are just seem like left by the wayside. And we begin to judge. We say, Lord, why? Well, the Lord knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And he's working with us. He's trying to change us. He's trying to get through to us. I got so disgusted just recently. I was doing deliverance, and this stupid old demon said to me, I tell you, he really got on my case. He said, I got to tell you this because you're too stupid to hear your God. Man, I tell you, it hurt because what he was telling me was truth. Your Lord, your God's trying to tell you this. And you won't hear him. How would you like to have a demon tell you that? I got it on tape on top of that. I sure was sorry because I've had to listen to it again. Every time, every little while, I go play it again. Say, Lord, help, I don't want this to happen to me again. Hey, listen. God's wanting to talk to his people and minister to his people. See, I told you, teaching you what I know. But we are so prideful and so deaf. My husband's doing a study on hearing the word seeing and understanding. That's good. And that's what our problem is. We read the word, we've read it so much that we know it, then quote it verse by verse, but we don't know what it says. It doesn't minister to us, it's just head knowledge. And God is wanting us to hear it with our heart, to let it work in our heart so it can bring forth fruit in our life. The good kind of fruit, not the bad. Because we have planted enough bad, we need to plant the good seed. And so God is saying, judge yourself. Reap. Give forth. Don't harden your heart. Wrath, anger comes in. We want to repay. We want to retaliate. There's a spirit of retaliation that we let operate. Well, you hurt me and I'll hurt you back. Now, we don't say that, but we do it. And God is telling us to judge ourselves, to change our hearts, to cleanse ourselves so He can work in us. I'm getting just about the reaction from this. I preached this Sunday morning in my church. And man, I was worn out after I got through because all those spirits that didn't want to hear what I was saying was coming at me. I mean, they were coming at me just like this. I'm going to get you good. But you know, Sunday night we had lots of deliverance come forth because people went home and had an opportunity to think about it and an opportunity to look inside of themselves to see what was in me. Not what's in you, but what's in me. Over in Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 21, says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, I shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. If somebody hurts you, do something good for them. If somebody steals from you, give them something. Forgive them and give them. Give it. Whatever they stole, turn loose, give it to them. Say, Lord, they can steal it out of us, give it to them. Because when we do this, we're loosening them, we're heaping coals of fire on the head. I don't mean go out and get a bucket of fire and pour on your head. But we're loosening them so God can work. When you do something to someone and somebody comes back, if you said something bad about someone, or if you judge them and they turn around and they bring you a gift or do something real nice for you, how do you feel? Don't you feel so guilty? See, this is what God's saying. When they hurt you, do something good to them. Do something good for them. By doing so, we're loosening them. And God's going to deal with them. Amen? Let's go back to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 18. I want to do a little bit on that forgiveness. I told my husband when I was studying this on forgiveness, when Jesus said, forgive 7 times 70, that's 490 times. And I got to thinking, you sleep about 8 hours. Well, I don't. I get about 5 hours sleep, but most time about 8 hours. That's normal. And so you're awake 16 hours a day. Maybe some of you, if you're awake longer than that, like I am, you have to forgive more than 490 times a day. But 490 times a day is about every 2 minutes. You think about it. I believe he was talking about in the day. Because it's 24 hours in the day. So every 2 minutes we're having to forgive. Even if you're by yourself, you're still having to forgive because of what you're thinking. And so Jesus said, when Peter came to him and asked him, said, how often shall I forgive my brother? And he said, 7 times 70. He was saying that we need to forgive him. We need to walk in an attitude of forgiveness. Continually forgive. You know, that just frees you up. You get so free. You can go around with the joy of the Lord in your heart. So you need to forgive God. Are you holding unforgiveness against Him? We won't say that. We won't say, I was angry at God. But I got angry. We still work with the mission people. But I see what could be done in the mission if the people would do it, if the leaders would do it. God gave me a vision one time of a place where we could bring people and keep them until we got them free. Minister to them, because like this girl that we mentioned to, if we'd have been with her, could have had continuous deliverance, you know, once or twice a week, you don't get a whole lot done, and they walk back out and get filled up on same things that they walked in. But God showed me that there should be a place to bring people and keep them until you get them free. And get them restored, get them filled up with the Word. You've got to build in them the Word so they can walk in deliverance. Because if they don't have any Word in them, they don't know how to resist when the enemy tries to come back. So God gave me a vision. And in fact, I've had it two or three times. Same thing with dreams. He's given me the dream of raising the dead. I mean, literally bringing them up out of the casket. And Scripture says when you have it, a dream twice or three times, it's settled. But God had given this to me, and when I saw the mission start in Memphis, my son was involved with it in another area judging. And I thought, oh boy, the Lord's going to let them do it, and I don't have to be involved in it. Took all that off me. Well, they had this mission, and they had like 75, 80 men, and the men were there. They were teaching the men. I'm telling you, the power of God was so strong in that place. I went down to with Jim and I go minister three times a week. And it was so strong you could hardly walk in the place. The men were on their faces. They were praying. They were before the Lord. They were pleading and getting their hearts right and their lives right with the Lord. And we saw God begin to work. And I thought, oh, Lord, thank you. This is just exactly, I know this is what you wanted, that you're going to keep these men here and get them set free. And then they're going to be restored to their families and productive lives. Well, they changed it. They changed the mission. And instead of being as concerned about the lives of the people, they began to get the guys work jobs and put them to work as soon as they got them in there. Without even, they even stopped working to get them all saved. And I just really got angry at God. And I said, Lord, this is awful. You let them, you gave them the tools, you gave them the know-how, you gave them the place. You see, my son had been in deliverance with us for a while, and he knew deliverance. And I thought, why'd you do this, Lord? And I was just so angry at God, you never got angry? And then I had to repent, and I said, Lord, forgive me, it's your business. I judged them. See, I judged my son. And I'm still having trouble with judging my son. Because he knows the Word, he knows, and he's lazy. He's lazy. People are lazy spiritually, they're lazy. They don't want to do deliverance. See, deliverance is a cry in my heart to get God's people free so they can walk in it and that they can go and get other people free. Because it's so needed today. Look at your children if you don't believe it. But anyways, I had judged my son, and I'm really having to fight this because I'm still judging him. I don't want to judge him, but he is so lazy. He is. He knows how to work people, but he doesn't work himself. Now, it's okay to delegate work, but you need to be right there working with him. So I've had to repent and repent of this. So y'all pray for me that I can really turn that boy loose. He's not a boy. He's almost 50 years old. That's right. They're all boys. They're still my boys. Babies almost. But we see, we do get angry with God. And so we need to repent of it. Jesus said over there in Matthew 18, In verse 18, he says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And I had wondered a long time why he put this binding, this one verse of binding, right in the middle of chapter 18. You know, it's over in Matthew 16, verse 19, where Jesus said, "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth is bound, and whatever you loose is loose." And I said, "Lord, I have never understood that until God began to show me that with our unforgiveness, we are binding people. And if when we forgive them, we loose them." It is so simple. And I had just said, "Lord," it just looked like the scripture was, you know, out of context, sitting there in the middle of all this forgiveness. God said, "Forgive." Did you know that all of 1 Peter is on forgiveness? He's telling us to forgive. If we'll walk in forgiveness, and all these things, we can become like God. We have the attitude, the mind of Christ. We can walk with the mind of Christ and walk in forgiveness. He said, let me read this. I'll quote it to you. He said, Peter said, verse 21 said, "Then Peter said unto him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times? And Jesus says unto him, I say not unto thee unto seven times seven, but I say unto thee 70 times seven." Let's go over to Ephesians in chapter 6, and let's begin to look at, well, as I started with this in the beginning of our forgiving our parents. You say, "Well, my mother was an angel." She never did. My mother was. I always thought she was. Then the Lord began to show me little things that I had held against her when she punished me. It said in Ephesians chapter 6, children, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise. Honor your father and mother, "that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." How many of you fathers have provoked your children to wrath? How many of you have bound your children with punishments that you gave to them without love? God began to show me this when he gave me the scripture. We all have known it. We all know that it's the first, as the scripture said, it's the first of the commandment that God gave us that has a promise that if we honor our father and mother, we will have long life. Because of some of the ways we have treated our children, they have not been able to honor their father and mother the way they want to, and therefore we have bound our children and caused children's lives to be shortened. And God wants us to take care of this. Men, you take care of what you've done to your kids. Women, you do the same thing. You have bound your children. You have wounded them. You have bruised them. You have abused them. Oh, you may not have physically abused them, but you mentally did. If they were so angry at you, they got brought to wrath. You need to ask God to forgive you for the way you did or did not treat your children. Loose your children. Take the bindings off of them. I don't mean stop praying for them and loving them. I mean you stop trying to be the Holy Spirit. You ask God to forgive you for what you've done to them. And then say, "Father, they're in your hands and I'm going to pray for their protection until you bring them into the kingdom." Because everyone in here probably has someone, most everyone has someone that's not saved and needs to be brought into the kingdom. And as long as we keep them bound, they cannot come into the kingdom of God because we have bound them. You know, God told me this years and years ago, and I never really did understand it other than he told me, he said, "As long as you've got your kids, I can't do anything with them." And I didn't know what he meant. He told me one night, I was praying, I was telling God how bad my kids were. Well, God knew how bad my kids were. And I was saying, "That boy does this, and that one does that, and you know, Lord." And the Lord said, I heard the Lord speak to me. He spoke to me so clearly. In fact, I don't know to this day if it was an audible voice. But it sounded like an audible voice. It was behind me. And he said, "As long as you've got them, I can't do anything with them." But I did not understand just how much he meant that I had them until I began to look at this binding and judging my kids and the things that we did to them when we were raising them that we need to repent of. And you need to repent of the things between you and your mother and father. You see, the sins of the fathers are visited on the children to the third and the fourth generation. We believe that. But you see, we can undo so much of it in the area of forgiveness. forgiving our fathers and mothers, forgiving our children. Forgive your children right now. Those hurts that you're carrying from the things your children are doing today. Forgive them. Don't judge them. Loosen them. Turn them loose. Say, God, they're your responsibility. That's what I told the Lord about that mission. They're fixing to start another one in Florida. And I said, Lord, I forgive them. I won't judge them. That's between you and them. Forgive. I have girls, I minister sometimes to girls, and I say, you've got to forgive your mother. Well, you don't know what she's done to me. I said, doesn't matter. You still got to forgive her. I can't do it. I won't do it. What when we say I won't do it, it means I will not. My will's involved. I just don't want to. I will not do it. There is no reason, no matter what they've done, it does not matter, that we need to forgive them and loosen them. John 20, verse 23, that whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. And whosoever sins you remit unto them. So my mother and father's dead. Doesn't matter. Lord, I remit their sins. I remit every sin of my father's and my mother's that affected me, that affects my children, that affects our family. In the name of Jesus, I forgive them, Father, and I ask you to forgive me for holding unforgiveness against them and judging them. It says, and whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. Sometimes when we're in deliverance, when people tell me they can't forgive their father or their mother, and I'll say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just remit the sins of the father and mother and of this girl or this boy until they are able to get free enough to do it themselves. Because you can do that when you're ministering to them. You remit the sins. You loosen the bindings that are on them so they can come free, so they can be delivered of the hatred of the whatever that's working there. Because, you see, all this unforgiveness turns into bitterness. In Hebrews, in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, in verse 15, says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The very root of most of the unforgiveness and the hurts and the problems in our lives is bitterness. That root of bitterness. We have been cutting the limbs off the trees. But God's wanting us to get down and to uproot that tree of bitterness and get it out. Turn it loose. You know, the bitterness will eventually work so in you that you've seen people that walk that are literally almost bent double. And if you look in their faces, you can see the lines of bitterness is etched there and unforgiveness. And it works in some way or another. I know that it works in the spine. It's such a load. It's like the load of the world is sitting upon the shoulders. And God's saying, get rid of the root of bitterness. Dig up the tree. Stop cutting off the branches, but go to the root. And the only place you can go to the root is at the beginning. I'll tell you something else. The sins of the fathers that are visited on the children to the third and fourth generation, whatever sin your father or mother was walking in when you were conceived, you got. The sins of the fathers. Because I have run into many a demon that told me they came in at the time of conception. And because we are unbelieving believers, we have not really believed that. But when I began to look at this, I realized that, hey, unless we go to the very root, we're going to continually be trying to get people free. And all we're doing is, it's like cutting your grass and running your lawnmower. You cut the chalk off and the roots are still there and you still got to go back and cut the grass again. In Luke's Gospel, in the 12th chapter of Luke, in verse 2, we're back again to say, where God says, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. See, God knows. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. Better to take care of it now than to let it be put upon the housetop. All the things that we've thought and done that we've hidden, God wants it cleansed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You want some deliverance this morning? I have a few more scriptures, but I think it would just be real good to go in and do some deliverance on unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, hatred, and all these spirits that we have hidden that God wants out. Amen? I'm going to let my husband call them out if he will. I'll lead you through a prayer of repentance. If you'll pray with me first. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you now and ask you to forgive us for holding unforgiveness in our hearts. Father, we forgive our mothers, our fathers, our husbands, our wives, our children, and everyone that has hurt us, living or dead. We forgive in the name of Jesus. And Father, forgive us for judging. Father, we ask that you cleanse us in every area of unforgiveness, hurt, anger, hatred, wrath, and every evil work that comes in through unforgiveness. And Father, we forgive ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You can hold on them if you want to. It's up to you. It's completely up to you. It's in your hands. You can say, "I don't need deliverance. I don't want deliverance." We have that habit. But if you want it, release it. Let it go. Say, "Father, cleanse me. Cleanse me. I want to walk in your way." In the name of the Lord Jesus, I call out bitterness. Bitterness. Spirits of bitterness. Spirits of bitterness and resentment, loose them and let them go. The Lord rebuke you. Come out of there. Come out. Violence, temper, anger, loose them and come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I'll cast out retaliation. Retaliation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rebellion, spirits of rebellion, you've got to go. You have no place in God's people. Loose them and come out in the mighty name of Jesus. Rebellion and self-will, come out, come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now everybody take a real deep breath and breathe them out. You've got to move. It's up to you. You've got to do something. Move. Get them out and take deep breaths. Come out in Jesus' name. Let's run them again. Bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, violence, temper, anger, retaliation. You've got to go. Come out. Rebellion. Self-will, stubbornness, that spirit of stubbornness, come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. You have no place among God's people. Stubbornness, disobedience, strife, come out in Jesus' name. Bickering, destruction and depression, you've got to go. Come out, loose them and let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out in the mighty name of Jesus. Spirits of rejection, come out. The Lord rebuke you. Rejection In the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go. Fear of rejection, you've got to go too. Come out. Come out. Self-rejection, the Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name, insecurity, self-pity, self-pity, gluttony, guilt. Come out. Condemnation, shame, shame, sexual perversion, lust and fantasy, fantasy lust. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's go back through the ones we preached on, the bitterness. The bitterness. We all have hold on to some of that. Let's get rid of it this morning. Spirits of bitterness. Bitterness. Now, you're not hidden. You're not hidden. Loose them and let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Bitterness and resentment. Resentment. Unforgiveness. Violence. Violence. Temper. Anger. Wrath. Murder. You've got to go. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, retaliation, rebellion, self-will, stubbornness, disobedience, strife, bickering, destruction, depression. In the name of the Lord Jesus, rejection, spirits of rejection, hurts, all the hurts. Come out, big hurts, small hurts, any type of hurt. In the name of Jesus, loose them and come out. In Jesus' name. Rejection, fear of rejection, self-rejection, the Lord rebuke you. Insecurity, self-pity, come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, loose them and let them go. The Lord rebuke you. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. You have no place here. You have no place. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Many people have never sat on a mass deliverance before. When you hear this coughing, that spirit's moving around and getting restless. That's what that is. If you have that feeling within you, the word spirit comes from a Greek word, pneuma. And it's translated spirit. It's also translated breath. It's translated wind. It comes out. And it's manifested in this type. And it will manifest itself in releasing. If you have those yawns that are you're holding back and coughs that you don't want people to say, well, that's that spirit acting up. And he's a liar. He's a liar and he has to go.
Amen.
And you can hold on if you want, but if you want to get rid of it, cough him on out. Throw him on out of there. Get him out. Throw him out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Cough. That's it. Cough. 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 Start a moving. Start a moving. Come on out of there. Come on out. In the name of Jesus. You have no place here. You have no rights. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You say, I'm doing that. Yeah, you start it, but that spirit gets uncomfortable and he starts moving. Come on out of there. Come out. All that bitterness. Bitterness and rejection. Let them go. Let them go. You're a liar. Come out of there. Come out. You bound God's people long enough. Loose them and come out. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. You've got to go. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Violence and the temper. The anger. The anger. The binding on our families. The mistreating of our children in any manner in the name of the Lord Jesus. The binding our children to us in the name of Jesus. We loose them. We loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. The anger over the things that our family has done, the things that they're doing today, we loose that anger in the name of the Lord Jesus, the things our children have done, in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Loose them. Retaliation against them. Retaliation. Come out. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Let them go. Let them go. That stubbornness that makes it want to hang on. Hang on. Come out of there. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. It is the Spirit of the Lord that moves the spirit. I call their name, but the Lord moves them and it moves you. Come out of there. Come out in Jesus' name. You have no place. Disobedience. Lying spirits. Lying spirits. Loose them and come out. Lying spirits. Those that lie. Lie to her yourself. Lie to your pastor. There's nothing wrong. The little white lie. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. All those lying spirits. Loose them and let them go. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. Retaliation spirits. I'll get even with you. It may take me a while. I'll get even. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. You have no place in God's people. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. You can't stay. You can't stay. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. All stubbornness. Stubbornness. You've got to go. You can't stay. You can't stay. You hang on. You simply hang on, but you have to go. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose them. Loose God's people. Loose them this day, in this hour, in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out. Strife and anger. Strife and anger. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out of there. Move in Jesus' name. Anger. Anger. Loose them and come out. Retaliation. Retaliation from the anger. The hurts from the anger. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That leads to murder. Murder. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Oh, we don't do it physically sometimes, but we do it. We assassinate people. We assassinate them with our voice, with our tongue. Come out. Come out. All that hatred. Hatred. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The destruction. Destruction. Self-destruction. Destruction of others. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them and come out. Destruction. Spirits of destruction. Let them go. Apollyon is your name. Apollyon. Loose them and let them go. Abaddon. Abaddon and Apollyon. You can't stay. Come out. I know you. I know you. Come out. Your name is Apollyon. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Just the unforgiveness. That spirit of unforgiveness now. All of that unforgiveness. Let them go. Let them go. See, I repent, Lord. I repent of the unforgiveness. Take it away from me. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come on out of there. Move. Move in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You're a liar. You're a liar, demon. You're there. I know you're there. You have to go. According to the Word of God, it is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. You can't stay. You cannot hold on in the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose them. Loose them and come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For He's highly exalted. He's given a name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue confesses. Jesus is Lord. Of beings in heaven, of beings in earth, and beings under the earth. They all bow. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You have to get, you have to go. You're a liar. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. Yes, the Lord rebuke you. Come on out of there. Come on out. Move. Move in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out in the mighty name of Jesus. 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 Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. You're a liar. You have no place here. You have no place. Those spirits of depression. Depression. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I loose that spirit of depression from this people. In the name of Jesus. According to the Word of God, I'll loose it. I command it to be for you to be free. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Depression has to go. Depression. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Let him go. Let him go. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on out. Depression. Come on out. That's it. Take another deep breath. Stir it up. Come out. Come on out of there. Depression. Depression. You're there. I see you all over the place. You've got to go. You've got to go. Come on out of there. Depression. Depression. You will not... Hold on, you will not lead to other spirits. You will not open doors to other things to come in. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, come out. Come on out of there. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come on out. Depression. Depression in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Hurts. All those hurts. Come on out. Loose them. Loose God's people. Hurts. Hurts. Hurts that lead to rejection. Rejection. Reject God's people. In the name of Jesus, you have no place. Come out. Come on out. Move. Rejection. Rejection. Hurts. All the hurts that lead to rejection. You've got to go. Spirits of hurt and rejection. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. It is He. It is Jesus, our deliverer. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Hurts. Hurts and rejection. Rejection. Rejection opens the door to a whole family of demons. If you hold on to rejection, He leaves the door open to bring in all types of other demons. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them and come out. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come on out of there. Come on out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. Well, they seem to have quietened that. Father, we just thank You that You love us, that You set us free. You've given us a way, Lord. No, it's not the whole answer. We recognize that. But it is a way. It's a tool You've placed in our hands, Lord, to set us free to receive of You. So, Father, we praise You for deliverance. I bind the enemy that's here and all the people. I bind his power and his strength. But I loose him from the people this day. And during the time of this camp meeting, Lord, I ask that you begin to reveal Yourself that the enemy has to go to this people. I bind those spirits that have come out. I call, Father, send Your angels. Cleanse our church. Take them out. Bind them in chains. The Word, take them away. Take them to the pit. Bind them in the pit. Let them not come back to harass God's people here at any time, that they'll not return in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we just praise You and we thank You now for deliverance. We give You all the glory, for Jesus Christ is our deliverer. In His name I pray this day and thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Amen and amen.
Now we're going to praise the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to fill every area that's been vacated so there's no place for any of this to return to. And then after we do that, we have a special prayer that I want us all to pray here. I'll explain it after we praise and get everything filled up a little bit with the Holy Ghost. Then we're going to pray about something.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It was
It was there, I think. we thank you for the Holy Ghost to fill every area of every vessel here that's been vacated in any way. We thank you that the Holy Ghost shall fill every area of the vessel where there's no place for anything to return to. We rejoice in thee, Father. We praise you, Father. We thank you for the blood that washes and cleanses. We thank you for the authority in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that there's victory in Jesus. We thank you that the Holy Ghost will fill every area of our vessels. We shall rejoice in thee. We shall praise and worship you, Jesus. And we thank you for it. Sing another chorus.
At the cross, here I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all day. Glory, hallelujah, He is all in all to me.
Most of you are not aware that the heaviness that was being spoke of was reality. We are sorry. I feel sorry for the situation, but we've had a young couple here who have repudiated everything that's been going on. They called me a devil, told me that in 1 year's time this place would not exist. They said, we're prophets and we decree that this place shall not exist in 1 year. And you have no authority over us. I have as much authority here as you do. And you can't tell me anything. And that's been going on now for about, to the extent they've been here since Monday. But it built until last night and this morning. And we're going to take authority over that spirit. We're going to release this campground from it. And we're going to bless them that they will come to an understanding of the air that they're in. And we're going to bless them, but we're going to break the power of that spirit that they have spoken against me and against Irma and against others here and against the campground. Now, Dr. Nell and Tommy were with me last night about 11:30 when we confronted them about some of this, and they were present when some of this went on. So I'm going to ask Doc to pray, and I'm going to ask Bill, Tommy to pray, and we're going to agree together, and we're going to break this off of these meetings and off of the campground, and it shall never return again in Jesus' name. Doc, break it in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, you know, Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, Lord. Oh, we just hold this young couple and their children up to you, Lord God. Lord, I just ask you to bless them now, Lord God. Pour your blessings out on them, Lord God. Lord, I just ask you to touch them, Lord, and bless them, Lord, with truth and understanding and wisdom, Lord. Release on them the spirit of wisdom and knowledge that the eyes of their understanding will be opened, Lord, and they will come to behold you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, and they will become to freedom, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I break the spirit of bondage over them in the name of Jesus. And I speak to this devil that's deceiving them in the name of Jesus. I speak to this spirit of deception, and I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. And I speak to these spoken words that have come forth, and I reject them in the name of Jesus Christ. And I send them back from whence they came in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord. And I just ask you, Lord, now, Lord, I put the war angels around the camp and around Glenn and Irma, Lord. In the name of Jesus and all the people in this camp and the leadership, Lord.
Amen.
And we put the shield of faith over it to protect it, Lord God. In the name of Amen. Jesus, Lord God, that your will be done in this matter, Amen. Lord God. that your will come to pass, Lord. Yes. In the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, set these people
free.
Oh, God, bless them and set them free, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we reject all these curses that have come forth from their lips.
Amen.
We break any ungodly soul ties between us and them. And, Lord, we release them to you, Lord, that you might work in their lives and you might bless them, Lord God, abundantly. In the name of Jesus, Lord,
Amen.
We forgive them, Lord, for anything they have said in an unkind and an unchristian manner, Lord God. And we just ask you to bless them now, Lord. Just pour blessings out on them. In the name of Jesus, we release them to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Father God, in Jesus' name, we break every curse, hex, and vex has been spoken over this camp. We come against, Lord God, every soul of prayer. We break all words that's been spoken against Glenn, the camp here, and Irma, and any person or persons here, Lord, today. We bind the effect of it in the name of Jesus. We disengage ourselves from it, Lord. We loose this camp. We loose the people from those curses right now. We do bless the people, Lord. We put blessing upon them, Lord God. But we release ourselves, and we do forgive them in the name of Jesus. But we call it null and void in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses every part of this camp now. Where they slept, Lord, whatever they touched, Lord, the blood of Jesus, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let your blood flow now in this camp meeting. Let the worship come up, Lord. Let the words go forth with power. Let the people be set free, Lord. And we thank you for sending your angels and ministering in this campground as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I just place the war angels around the car that's taking them, Lord.
Yes.
And I place the shield of faith over Mac as he's driving them, Lord Jesus. And nothing that they say will come against Mac, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. You protect him, Lord, and get him safely there and get Mac safely home, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we speak divine protection to him, Lord, as he goes to do your will. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for it, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We praise you, Lord.
Bless
your name.
We praise
you.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. We bless your name. We praise you, Lord. Holy is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. This is the day the Lord is changing things. The old order is passing and the new order is coming. And I'm going to teach you warfare in this hour. For yeah, I'm bringing my people into a warfare. I'm allowing it to happen, saith the Lord. That I might share and tell you things of the heavenly, saith the Lord. And know that you can no longer live in the state you've lived in the past. Because I'm going to shake your roots, saith the Lord. I'm going to shake your house. I'm going to shake your life until you come to that place where you'll submit to the Holy Spirit and move in the Holy Ghost. And know that in this hour, that which is going to be shaken will be shaken. And that which will remain, saith the Lord. So know that I am in the shaking business, saith the Lord. And I, the Lord, do shake in this hour. I shake this campground. I shake the people even in this meeting, saith the Lord. But not for your destruction, but for your good, that I might set you free. Yea, that you may go free, saith the Lord. For I am your deliverer, saith God.
I mean, y'all felt the Spirit move when Tommy prophesied. Hallelujah. I want you to know that that was pure Spirit all the way down to my toes. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your teaching, Lord. Thank you for your deliverance, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to meet the needs in this camp meeting today, Lord. That you're going to meet the needs of the people that have come, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord God. And we stand and we prophesy, Lord, that we're going to meet them, that the needs will be met today, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Now, don't forget, ladies meeting upstairs at 1:15. Men over here on my left at 1:15. Father, we thank you for the food that's prepared. Bless those in the kitchen, Lord. Bless them, bless them. Make the food health and strength to us. Amen, amen.
Let's see, I'm just lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost, and He's drawing me closer to the one I love the most. I'm just keeping company with a heavenly host. I'm just lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. Let's try it. I'm just lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. And He's drawing me closer, drawing me closer to the one I love the most. I'm just keeping company with the heavenly host. I'm just lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. I'm just lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. And He's drawing me closer to the one I love the most. I'm just keeping company with the heavenly host. I'm just lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. I'm just lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. And He's drawing me closer to the one I love the most. I'm just keeping company with the heavenly host. I'm just lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. I'm just lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. And He's drawing me closer to the one I love the most. I'm just keeping company with the heavenly host. I'm just lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.